Well, welcome everyone. Thank you. My title is Be Transformed Part 2, Trusting God. We just can't get enough of the renewed mind because it's what directs us to doing God's will. God is so good to me, to you, to all of us. And he also says, trust me on my words. So it's a blessing. The renewed mind walk is not based on head knowledge, but a lifestyle of a heart of love. We walk by faith and not by sight. That's what God has called us to do. Daily walking in God's will is the mark of spirituality. How many people have you heard them say, I'm not religious or Christian, I'm spiritual? And I don't think they have any idea what that means. To be spiritual is to be identified with our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Kenneth Copeland says, the only way to stop a Bible-believing, tongue-talking, devil-casting-out believer is surrender. There's no other way to stop us. You know, God has given us everything we need to help this world, as Jesus did, and we have to help it in the transformation of our lives. Let's look again at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And I'm going to look at the NLT version. It says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. He's asking us to give our life to God. Live, and he wants us to live as if we were on assignment for the Lord. You know, we all enjoy assignments, especially when we can be successful in them. It says, let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Verse 2, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. It's a complete transformation, not a remodeling, but a new build, as they say in real estate. We're not changing a little bit of us or remodeling what we have, but it's a new, whole new building, whole new transformation. By changing the way you think, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. God doesn't want us to copy the world, because all the world has to offer is with the lies of the adversary. We will never measure up to another man's ideas of what's right. One important aspect of the renewed mind is trusting God and his word and acting out in obedience. Let's turn to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Actually, we all probably know this and could recite it right now together. It says, it's the key to walking in God's will. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy steps. God wants us to trust in his will with all of our heart, not our own understanding. And that's what gets us in trouble. We look to our own understanding and what's going on instead of seeking God. We acknowledge God first in everything that we do, and he will direct us on a clear and perfect path to go. Now, if there's nothing greater than you knowing about God's will, but knowing Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, I think you could live a very successful life as a believer. And I think when I first got in the Word, that was my most amazing verse that I'd ever heard, that when we just trust in him, he'll direct our paths. You know, I just thought God was more of an ogre, that if you did something wrong, he was ready to beat you down. I didn't know of the loving Father that he is. Abraham's faith was reckoned unto him for righteousness, but it was not faith alone, but works of obedience and trust. Let's turn to James chapter 2, verse 21 through 24. James asks, was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect. Abraham was told to bring Isaac up to sacrifice. And he didn't ask questions. He just said, my son will be coming back with me. He walked in obedience and in faith. But it took works, took action on that faith to perform what God asked him to do. So verse 22 says, do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect. And I'm using the New King James Version. Verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. You know, we can have faith move mountains, but if we don't confess it, if we don't speak it out, if we don't rebuke what's going on, we will not see the power. We have to put that word of God in action. In Romans chapter 4, again, it talks about Abraham's faith. We're going to start in verse 19, Romans 4:19. And not being weak in faith, he did consider his own body already dead, since he was 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. It wasn't surprising to him that he couldn't give birth. They tried for many, many years, I'm sure. But he knew they couldn't do it. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he has promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Abraham knew what God said had to be right. He stood on the promises of God. God gave him many things to look at. He told him about the angels. He told him about the stars of the sky, that he would have children, as many as the stars and as the grains of sand. Hasn't he told us all that we have in Christ through the Word of God? And look at how many translations we have. If you can't quite understand some of it, we've got enough from the Message to every single Bible that's out there. Because God wants us to know. He wants us to know that he is faithful and he will perform his word. And that's how we trust in him. When you have a relationship with someone, you spend time with them and you hang out with them because you know they're not going to lie to you. That you're developing a trust that you can always rely on them, have confidence in them. Well, we have to spend time with God so that we can know how big his word is and how much he loves us. In verse 23 it says, now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. And imputed means to lay responsibility or to blame for. But also for us, it shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. Abraham was that example for us to teach us. And Jesus Christ died for us so that our offenses could be forgiven. He took responsibility for that by giving his life. And he was raised because of our justification. By that raising him from the dead, we are just as if we'd never sinned. I love that word, justification. Just as if we'd never sinned. In God's eyes, we haven't. And sometimes I talk to him and say, well, sorry, I did this and that. Then I think, wait, God doesn't want to hear about what we did wrong. He already knows that. He wants to hear us speak his word. He wants us to acknowledge the love that he has for us. From the example of Abraham, we can learn what it means to really believe and trust God. The person who believes God is willing to submit his will completely to God's command is one that actually trusts God. He may not see any sense in it, but he is willing to obey God anyhow. He knows God is faithful to his word and expects him to keep it. This is the renewed mind lifestyle. If God said it, that settles it. Now, who am I to tell God what to do? Do you remember last teaching that I did on the transformed renewed mind, they shared about how when Jesus was getting ready to be taken, Peter said, "No, Lord, you can't go," because Jesus said he was going to die. And Peter stood up and said, "No, Lord, you can't die." And what did Jesus say? "Get behind me, Satan." He said, "You are standing in front of the will of God, God's will." Jesus knew his will, and Peter was a great man. His emotions were there. Sure, he didn't want his Lord to die, but what was God's will? He had to be rebuked because of he did not recognize his will. And many times we have to maybe rebuke ourselves, saying, "Wait a minute, is that thought what God's will is?" May feel good. It is easy to live by our five senses and recognize our freedom of will, but that is not how we were designed by God. You know, we have freedom of will that we can choose God or not. We could be just a Sunday believer. We just worship God on Sundays. You can do that. You have freedom of will to do that. But I don't know that you'll have the power that God has intended for us. What he's designed. He's designed a relationship with his children. He wants us to trust him. Everything in his word, he is faithful to. And he's so good to us. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear. He hasn't given us doubt, worry, defeat, disappointment, depression, hopelessness, but power and love and a sound mind." We're the ones that make the choice. What are some of the ways we get tricked out of trusting God in his word? Well, I have a few ideas. We are too self-sufficient. We want to do it our way, and then when we fail, we ask God why. How many times we think, "Oh, I can do this," or "I'm going to try to do it," and then we kind of step in it. We are too quick to call on others when we should go to our Heavenly Father first and ask him what to do. We may feel distant to the God of heaven. Even Job, in the midst of all his loss, said, "I will trust in him." Let's look at Psalm 5, verses 11 and 12. Some great verses on trusting. It says, "But let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor you will surround him as with a shield." There's nothing God won't do for us when we put our trust in him. We cannot deny God's love and grace. That's all he is. And the fourth thing that I was thinking about was, we have developed a habit of worrying. So many times, we, instead of just confessing the word, we confess our inability or our worrying, our doubt. Remember Martha, Martha, in Luke chapter 10, verse 38? We're going to look at that. There's a lot of verses on worry. Remember, Jesus talked about the lilies of the field. They toil not, neither do they weary. And yet he says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us." There's such a contrast between man's ideas, man's five senses, and what God has for us. He wants us to depend on him, not feel distant, to call on him at all times. He has an open door policy. And Jesus is our advocate. So we have nothing to stop us. So Luke 10 verses 38, starting in verse 38, it says, "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.'" How many times do we tell God what he needs to do to make things right with us? You know, she had a wonderful ministry of hospitality. But what did she do? She ruined the blessing of giving by saying, telling the Lord to send her sister out here to peel potatoes and stuff. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary hath chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. How many times have we told God how to meet our needs? My motto in school was, don't worry, be happy, because I would worry for everyone. How many verses talk about worrying? The good seed, parable of the good seed. God's solution is seek him first, and all these things that the Gentiles seek after will be given to us, right? How about Philippians 4:6? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. So don't be anxious. Now he tells us what we need to do. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Wow. We can substitute worry for the peace of God. Isn't that amazing? The world has no idea how to have peace. They pray for peace, but that'll never happen in our lifetime to have true peace, but with the Father. Trust God. Rely on him, lean on him as your heavenly Father. Fellowship with him all day long. Speak in tongues, reading his word instead of your cell phone messages. Remember last time I shared about what would we do if we forgot our Bible? We went out the door and forgot our Bible instead of our cell phone. How important we think that cell phone is, because we got to get that communication. Well, if we don't have that communication with the Father, we're missing on the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of that joyful life that he's called us to. Our Heavenly Father has given his children all the equipment, even the mind of Christ, to stand in victory and never in defeat. You are righteous, free from regret and disappointment, for you have been transformed into the image of his Son. You walk as representatives of Christ Jesus, your Lord. We need to accept that calling because we are needed in God's plan to have all men be saved and come into a knowledge of the truth. Jesus at 12 years old said, I must be about my Father's business. We can say that, and that was before he even had Holy Spirit. He didn't do any miracles at 12 years old, but you know what he had? He had the Word of God. He had the Scriptures. And he found out who he was. And he was prepared to take on the must be about his Father's business. We can say today, my Father has business for me to engage in. So, Lord, here am I. Send me. Amen? Amen.
Amen.
That's what God's word is all about, trusting him, enjoying the life that he's prepared for us, because he says that he has a good and perfect plan for each one of us. So, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your tremendous word. I thank you for the amazing relationship that you have made for each one of us, that we could be your dearly beloved children, that there's nothing we can do to fall short of your love and grace. I thank you that each one of us can receive your word, trust it, walk out on it, and see that power that we can move mountains to help people receive you and get born again and build this family up so that our Lord can come back. So I thank you for healing for each one of us from the top of our heads to the soles of our feet. I thank you for our hearts being joyful and blessed, knowing that you know what's behind the scenes of all the any need that we have, and we just trust you to bring everything to pass. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.